Season 5, Episode 1, Citizen Control. Consultation, meh, peh, complains Sarah with disdain. There is a lot of corporate hazing and gaslighting, reflects Trage. This episode was spurned from the presentation by Dr. Elise Crawford of Central Queensland University on her research of work participation in their work design. Sarah elaborates on the tiered scales of organisational citizenship, which can fall into the categories of non-participation, tokenism, I think we can all relate to that one, and degrees of citizen power. Alarmingly, consultation falls into the category of tokenism. Alan reminds us that this is a workplace obligation in the work health safety legislation. Educate your mind, because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind, because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind, because the system will keep you blind.
Create a new path and let the people follow your signs. Educate your mind. I'll give you another topic to talk about today, too, about consultation. I'd love to unpack that C word a little bit, especially from your legal view versus all the way through to participation, about what that really means, because it seems so cursory sometimes, consultation.
Hello and welcome to the Why Work podcast series. You are listening to Trace Vitkovsky, Sarah Pazell and Alan Girl.
I mentioned something at the HFESA Knowledge Through Sharing Forum about participation and what that really means, right? And I thought this is interesting because I thought this would, this citizenship, right, a part of, do you call it citizenship of participation? There's a lot of articles around that social phenomenon, like how much are corporates trying to pull one over the, your eyes versus really involve you at, through
consultation? You mean hazing and gaslighting?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Corporate hazing and gaslighting.
All that kind of stuff.
No, sorry. I think you're referring to participatory democracy, grassroots.
I knew he'd love this, right? Okay, so in fact, this might also lead to, we were going to talk about some of the big boy corporations all being in hot water right now.
About what?
Remember, all of them, we've been sending text messages about PwC and about Qantas and about
stuff.
All that
yes.
stuff. But let's just talk first about consultation versus participation.
What does that mean to you, Sarah?
We're on
because let's get started. Come on, DJ Code Red.
So I attended a forum, a Human Factors and Ergonomics Society of Australia Knowledge Through Sharing Forum in Queensland this week. And Dr. Elise Crawford is a colleague of mine and a lovely, great fun lady. And she did a presentation. She presented on her research on participation and what that really means when you're involving workers to participate in design. And it led to a lot of discussion about, you know, citizenship and ownership of a problem and a solution and design strategy in the workplace. And certainly leave some room to debate, because when you're talking about have you consulted workers, what does that really mean? Because sometimes it's so cursory. You're like, what are people calling is consultation? So in your legal brain, tell me what you're thinking about when you're saying, because it's another C word.
Yeah.
It's a C word, consultation.
Immediately,
a safe C word.
You know, immediately Alan and I would jump to sections 46 and 47 of the Work Health and Safety Act and go through all the all the elements of that. But let's not do that, because our readers can do an OSLI. They don't need to speak to a lawyer. They can just simply go to the relevant parliamentary website and get themselves a copy of the Act for free without being charged. But later on, if they need advice about interpretation, that's a separate story. But let's just talk about what does consultation mean.
What does consultation actually mean to you?
I'm reflecting on a really good student, I think you may have even taught him as well, who worked out the Pilbara region or one of the remote mine sites. And, of course, under the mining legislation, the responsibilities of work health and safety managers are more onerous than the Work Health and Safety Act. So, in other words, the likelihood if something does go awry, you personally being prosecuted is higher in the mining universe than it is in others. But not that it's impossible in the other jurisdictions, but with mining, particularly nervous, or supervisors get particularly nervous. And he was particularly nervous because he felt that consultation was not occurring at that grassroots level. So getting back to what your colleague was talking about, they are not listening. So for me, consultation is not about talking. It's not about directing. It's not about even getting legal advice about what the definition of... It's about listening. And the lack and the perception was that those at the grassroots were not being listened to by those upstream. But, and that's what it is.
So being listened to implies that you're sharing information, yes, that, you know, there's transparency there. So they've, yeah, got some, you've got something to stimulate conversation that's worth listening to. So first part is that there's some transparency in that communication, right?
It would stop. So the information would go up.
Yep. Yeah,
and then it would stop, and the information then wouldn't be processed and then brought down. So an issue is raised. So there's an opportunity for consultation about the issue, the unresolved issue, and then management go, thanks. Thanks for that. So there's
that. And do nothing.
And then do nothing. And that was his concern about his consultation occurring.
So I found this, you know, a nice article and some graphics on citizenship and citizen control, and there is Creative Commons license in this. It's worth discussing because I'll tell you how it layers consultation, even though it recognizes that it's not just a single path, that in fact, you know, a system is definitely not linear. However, they start with the first layer, which I laugh about because there's a lot of stories about corporate mishap right now, mayhem. First layer is manipulation, right?
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting, keep going.
Hazing.
Hazing, gaslighting, manipulation, right?
Because remember, we can say that because I'm not saying a specific individual. Corporations are persons, as we know, Alan, pursuant to the corporations laws, but they are pathological by design because... because, in fact, they're almost perhaps the corporate psychopath, that expression is being used, because they have no soul, because they're not human, but they are persons for the purposes of the law, so they can do these things.
Pathological, a disease to be treated is what you tell me when there's something pathological, right? So manipulation is about, and it says this occurs with when public institutions, officials, or administrators mislead their citizens into believing that they are being given power in a process, right, that has been intentionally manufactured to deny them power. And, you know, there was a lot of critique in the U.S. about nudge theory in design, trying, ooh, to nudge behaviors, right, versus actually effective system design, right?
So tell us about nudge. I mean, I know the nudge, when you nudge it. I know the English expression, nudge it, you know.
Yeah, so like nudge.
What's it mean in design?
Something simple might have been about superannuation contributions, right? When you add your extra contributions, and nudge theory would have an app where in the past you might have had to elect to add more, and now it's an opt-out strategy, and it has completely changed how people contribute to superannuation, for example. So it can it helps implement public policy by some design strategy, but without actually changing anything in the entire financial infrastructure of how the government operates. They're just trying to nudge society, people's behavior to do what they want.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
So,
yeah,
there's like you know, they're trying to, they put out campaigns and messaging to try and, you know, sway public opinion. But at the same time, what can they do with little simple design to get people to comply with what they want? And I'm sure vaccination would be an issue, right? Without going into all of the pros and cons of vaccination that we saw through the pandemic, there would have been a whole lot of effort to look at nudge theory of how we're going to do this for compliance, right? Behind the machine, behind the messaging. And disparate messaging caused a lot of confusion. So some of those campaigns just didn't make sense. So people can't stick with that. So you need a good campaign, you need good messaging, and then you have design strategy. But the argument against that in nudge theory and design is that, in fact, you really should be looking at the entire infrastructure, a real robust design and systems to support people, not just manipulate their behaviors.
Right. So you're saying corporate citizens really aren't investing in consultation in that true
on this first layer, on this in yes, this in this yes. first layer. If it's called manipulation, right? Then you have things like therapy, which is interesting as the next layer. So we're nowhere near consultation yet. Therapy, public officials and administrators assume that powerlessness is synonymous with mental illness.
Oh, my goodness.
So they have pseudo-participatory programs that attempt to convince others that they are the problem, when in fact established institutions and policies that they're creating are the problems. for the citizens.
Again, gaslighting. It's still
a bit of gaslighting. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like you need us to help you solve that problem, right? Mm. I will do this for you. I am strong. And yes, vote me or whatever that is, right? Mm. So therapy. I'll give you therapy and I'll help solve this. Mm. You're the problem. And then there's informing, which probably happens a lot when people think they're consulting, right?
Mm. Yeah.
So what does informing mean to you, Alan?
Oh, yeah, you're relying information to...
One way, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of one way. It's informing citizens of the rights and responsibilities and the options that they can take. Informing them about situations. And citizens may be intimidated by futility, legalistic jargon, and prestige of the official. Mm. So who's doing the informing and how they're doing the informing or the good lawyering, as we have, you know, joked about, can really influence how people receive that information. So they might say, I've informed them, I've notified employees, but I've got all the power, right? And I find that in my role, even in consulting, as I come out, I'm as a third party, there's no power disparity.
Yeah.
So I can really discuss things with workers as long as they realize I'm not from head office, I'm not from corporation. Or even in my research, I call it, what I do is transformative, which means I'm jumping in to help solve problems while reflecting on this. And we're really working hard to solve real world problems together. Mm-hmm. Right? And co-joined.
That's an excellent strategy, having, for example, a third party, a potentially neutral observer. So let's face it, someone's going to pay your bill. That's going to be the employer. Do you feel...
You're talking about now in my consulting role, right?
So,
right.
I think it's a great idea.
Or my research role, yep.
But certainly in terms of work. So let's say a corporation has brought you in because it's part of the consultative process, which I think is good because that way it breaks down that us and them.
Yep.
Do you perceive that the employees genuinely feel that you're listening to them, knowing that really it's the boss man who's going to pay your bill?
Yep.
But do you feel that there is a genuine partnership with the workers?
I find that people, yes, the guard dissolves, diminishes, and people feel like, oh, my gosh, you're really that interested in my approach. And that's because for human factors and ergonomics, in collecting empirical evidence, you're really looking at the way things are done. And it's very rare that somebody comes out and spends that much time with a frontline worker to understand their tactics, what they do, and what they think about it, not just their procedural episodic, you know, procedural knowledge or episodic relay events, but how you feel about it, what you envision in the future, and how you reflect on the past. So there's multiple aspects of that semantic and episodic memory that you're pulling apart through cognitive work analysis, right?
That's a good example of creative or robust consultation, bringing in a third party to assist, particularly if there is that perception they're not listening to us, it's us and them.
Job security, thank you.
we're doing a shameless plug here for Sarah.
It really helps to have somebody who's not making a decision on their hiring or firing, right?
Yeah.
And who is looking at design discovery. And I find, I explain my role all the time, 75% of my work is really just listening to the people who are domain experts who know the work and do the work and control that work at the pointy end, and explaining the realities of work and reconciling the varieties of work and how it's imagined, how it's prescribed, how it's disclosed versus how it's really done. And explaining that, the whistles and bells in a little shiny report or in the language, because the worker just wanted to send a blow the mind up emoji.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, that's right. So and you temper those and put some, you know, other things in, like a zipper or something. No.
Right, the zipper and the blow up the mind emoji. And I translate that with a little more language that can sit with corporation. I do personas and empathy maps and journey maps. Maybe I'll conduct risk assessments, or maybe I'll look at something like the earth moving equipment safety roundtable control framework to look at non-probabilistic serious stuff that can kill you. And not just from a safety perspective. Safety is only one design objective. We're looking at everything that brings joy, that brings productivity, that, you know, makes things a little easier and unifies business units. A design strategy is quite robust. It's very different from a safety investigation, for example, right? So you go in through this method and you're talking about, that third party person, whether it's through research or consulting, as long as you're still bringing in some scientific approaches with that consulting, and it's very quite rigorous, not just a, you know, show pony kind of event, right? Nothing to sell, but you're really doing pure discovery. You're really understanding what's the realities of that work, like that Schiphol Airport, and trying to understand multiple people's perspectives in a system. Because the other thing I'm critical about is when you go in to do a design approach and people say, yeah, we really need to unpack and understand the problems and intervene, but then they describe the problem in a way that will simply fund the work they already wanted to get done.
Yeah,
and that happens too often. I'm like, hang on, you haven't stopped to actually look at personas and empathy maps and describe all the problems from multiple people's points of views. Don't imbue this with your own view of something you've got to sell. That happens way too much. And that's what gives consultants a bad rap. So,
right.
So the point is to actually do this with some real scientific evidence and be thorough and understanding the points of view in a system, and then put that back on the plate so the employer has a more well-rounded view and are better informed about some of the decisions they make.
Just for the record, though, I have read Sarah's reports, not just looked at them. I have read them, and there are no emoji cons. So future prospective employers, be aware that you won't get an emoji con with Sarah's reports.
Although I have to say, you know what I do a lot with project partners, I call them now, is I set up a Miro, a digital collaborative whiteboard, and I populate that thing with all kinds of hieroglyphics and graphics and images, and it becomes a visual storytelling board that's shared. It's a digital shared storyboard. I put in ideas, I start to put up photos and images, or sometimes some reports and some content, and then I can't help myself. I spend like extra hours finding all the icons and making pretty pictures and adding color and neon lights and rainbows, whatever. And so I do use that visual storytelling in another medium, not their formal report that a damn lawyer is going to dissect. Right?
Yeah,
occasionally you get the alpha client, is what I call them, when they're really wanting to solve the problem.
Yep.
And many other times where there's an agenda, I think is what you're getting at, right? Yeah. And I always have to send almost a disclaimer to the people with whom I'm speaking on the front line and say, I can't control what happens with this information here and after, just so
that's
you know.
What I was after.
Because, I can't always do that. But occasionally you get an alpha client, and then it's so fun because you get a robust solution. The challenge is for most employers is that early design discovery is a lot of work to do it right. You can't just, when somebody narrows your scope of work and you're the advisor and that's not what you would advise for them to do, that's hard. that's hard. But anyway, okay, so we've got manipulation, therapy, and informing. Then you start to get into what is now in your work health safety legislation, language consultation, right? And this is what you were talking about in this article. Inviting citizens' opinions, like informing them, can be a legitimate step toward their full participation. But consultation processes not combined with any other modes of participation, this rung of the ladder will still be a sham. Right? So it's now suggesting that participation must be part of that consultation. There needs to be some assurance, right, that their concerns and ideas will be taken into account. So this is what you're getting at. Even if you have a third-party consultant.
The legislation says you have to do that.
The legislation says that, but in reality, that's what I'm challenging. Well, how is consultation really occurring?
What does the legislation say? I'm going to bring up Section 46.
And while you do that, I'll share more of this. You pull that up.
Going to be at the ping before. I thought my phone was on vibrate. It wasn't. Alan just sent me an emoji, and I'm livid.
Ping! What was it?
Goodness. You don't want to see this. I'll show you over lunch.
Is it a meme? I forgot to mention memes. I'm into memes, too.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Outrageous.
It's outrageous.
Outrageous.
It's unspeakable.
Unfathomable. All right, I love it. All right, so consultation. Here's some common methods that people use for consultation, right? Attitude surveys, right? Neighborhood meetings. I like that idea. Neighborhood meetings. You see that a lot in American TV shows and legal shows that have had something happen that affect a community. Public hearings. When power holders restrict the input of citizens' ideas solely at this level, participation remains just a window dressing ritual. Isn't that strong language? A window dressing ritual.
Well, it's interesting because what the law says, now just mapping that, Alan, do you want to read it out?
Yeah, Section 48
of the
Act. And so consultation requires the giving of relevant information, giving workers a reasonable opportunity to express their views and contribute to the decision-making process. The views of the workers are taken into account by the person, by the business, and the workers consulted are advised of the outcome of the consultation. So the point there, I guess, is that the views of the workers are taken into account. And not only are you supposed to do that, but you'd want to be able to prove that you've done that. So you'd have to have some evidence that you have actually taken into account the views of the workers, which is a difficult thing to do.
And the biggest morale killer is trying to, in a tokenistic way, consult with workers and then hear some of these opinions and not give any feedback about why those ideas were not adopted. And in design strategy, there's always trade-offs, right? There are always trade-offs, but as adults trying to share in problem-solving, it behooved you to explain what those trade-offs were and why you couldn't consider that at this point in time.
Remember, she's American.
She's
not American. I let that slide, and Ellen, you picked it up.
Whatever, next.
Come on, Ellen, you've got to be.
Behove? You said
she's
behove?
She's from North America.
Tomato, really?
That's it. From North America. It's interesting because Ellen read out Section 48, and we're going back to the must. So 40, but it kicks off with 46. That's why I said 46 before, and 47. Section 46, the Work Health and Safety Act, also requires each person with a duty must, so they use the M word, must, not may, not might.
And not could, not
maybe,
see.
Not could, should, could, have,
must,
would,
must,
as reasonably as
there's your out, as reasonably
ready?
As possible.
And then we have our alliteration of C's, consult, cooperate, and coordinate activities. So, it's all there, the layout's there, with all other persons who have a work health or safety duty relation to the same matter. So, you're expected to have consultation, cooperation, coordination. And that's getting back to what you were saying. So you could tick the boxes. You could say, yes, we've got the evidence, as Alice said before. Look, we did speak to them on a Friday.
We had this public hearing. We had a focus group. We had a health and safety rep at this meeting,
We've done toolboxes. We've audited all the toolboxes. But what my student was saying back at the outset was that they weren't being listened to. So whilst you could provide the evidence and tender the toolbox talks and the forums and all the discussions and even brought in the consultant, but the report was either ignored or cherry-picked or whatever.
It happens often.
So what's missing from this definition is meaningful.
Oh, you want the word meaningful?
I would love the word meaningful. Meaningful.
In a meaningful way.
Because that opens up, and no one's going to play with that.
And meaningful. That's interesting.
Robust.
I just had a conversation with a Google exec who has his own podcast, Work for Humans, Dart Lindsay, and we talked a little bit about. Excuse me. I'll say that again. I had a conversation with Dart Lindsay for Work for Humans, and we talked about meaningfulness and. His background, I believe, is more that workforce strategy, human resources, and I was speaking about the human factors ergonomics approach to meaningfulness and understanding that the task, the things you do every day, a task-based approach can really reveal what's meaningful to people, right? Mm. Or not, you know, that they just have to do this and it's just a routine and has no keen interest in this. It doesn't align with their values. They don't like the way the job's done. They don't agree with how the work's been prescribed. And this was an aha moment, I believe, in our conversation, because that a task-based approach seems so simple, but it really reveals how people spend their time. So what's meaningful to you? And is it, and if you're not spending the time in the ways that you would prefer that align with your values, you're spending a lot of time in meaningless activities, and then you can be depressed and morale can be down and you're going to be more at risk of psychosocial harms, etc. So
Yes. Why work?
Why work? I mean, dun,
you know, Mary could have meaningful consultation, or routine Dean could have not so meaningful.
So consultation.
So you don't want the routine.
That's right. Yeah.
And you don't want, but you want the meaning, and that, I mean, I can't define that because each case turns on its own. But if a worker feels or perceives that there is meaning to what's happening, then we're heading somewhere.
All right. So in some of the work I'm doing in mining research, we've been spending a lot of time on what I call knowledge elicitation, learning from domain experts, which is a lot of what design discovery is. You're learning from the people who know the work, that do the work.
So what was that term?
Knowledge elicitation is a human factors word in cognitive work analysis. So how do you elicit knowledge? So not just the procedures, you know, that people do, yeah, or what happens habitually in the way you drive a car, for example, and not just episodic. With in lawyer land, you may have to look at what happened as events unfolded, but that deeply, you know, very rich semantic knowledge about, you know, what do you know? The sky is blue. Well, how do you know that? Why is that a truth for you? Right? And unpacking all of that in understanding the system design, right?
Cool.
And how do you believe it will be in the future? And how will that be tested under different conditions? So there's the predictive analytics there, right? So the point being, we're looking at eliciting knowledge and now transferring that knowledge to other people who need to learn, whether it's designers, people new to the job, you know, equipment, environmental designers, technology designers, and we having to test, have we transferred that knowledge in an adequate way? Now, the only reason I'm mentioning this is you're talking about how would you know if your consultation has been effective? How many employers are actually evaluating their methods of consultation and testing the impact and the outcomes of that and whether or not people felt heard and the actions that were taken after that consultation were useful and meaningful? Now, that's another opportunity, shall we call it, for design and use, for somebody who's a work design strategist to evaluate, pinpoint, is that consultation effective, meaningful, useful? Do people have buy-in? Is there some sway to that
messaging?
So what's
the layer we have above consultation?
All right, so we're moving on.
That's where it should end.
No. You haven't solved all the world's problems, because consultation could still be tokenistic.
Knowledge extraction.
All right, in this citizenship view.
What's the next level?
The next letter.
It's outrageous, Sarah. I have to say that Alan is sending me the most inappropriate.
Oh, while we're chatting, stop texting.
This is outrageous.
A text here with so many emojis.
Oh, that's
I've
what
got
you're
so many
doing.
Emotions going on. Emojis.
All right. So
I'm
here,
shocked.
Here. You could be texting while I'm consulting with you as an employer, right? And
that's
maybe
right.
I'm just placating you, which is the next level placation. So
placate.
Participation as placation.
Doesn't that happen all the time?
Yeah.
Now,
but you know
do you
what?
Pronounce
that's
this word funny? No, I'm not saying.
I'm okay with your Californian, you know, there's a hint of Californian and Arkansas. No.
No. Where did you get that?
Arizona, maybe. Perhaps.
The California one.
Alan's having a go. He's listening carefully and astutely to how you pronounce this American.
Well, I'll placate you, right? So this occurs when citizens are granted
a
limited.
There's no why.
Oh, he's gone on the placate.
Placate.
See, he wanted you to say placate.
But
not placate. Placate.
All right. Let's play. When citizens are granted a limited degree of influence in a process, a limited degree of influence, that's probably more likely what happens. You're allowed to, we'll give you a bit of influence, but it's only within this very narrow scope.
Right.
Right?
It's like every player wins a prize. Like, it's what happens is you give a little, like a token.
That's right. It's called tokenistic here.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that way they can just demonstrate that they had involvement.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then that ticks the consultation box, you see.
Right.
To say, oh, no, we asked Alan.
The word meaningful is not there.
It's not there. I want
not
that word meaningful there.
So, and I want that word because that helps the designer, the work designer, look at how to evaluate
meaning.
Prompt that evaluation.
They could put it in there just to placate you.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's see if the word meaningful exists in the legislature.
You look at that. I'm going to tell you about the next one while you're searching that.
Itself.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
So partnership is the next level.
I'm going to
And
that.
So now yes, partnership.
I've changed my mind. I love the internet now. I remember before. I said, no, I could just now
Yeah, that's right. Where's those Where are you etching in that stone?
Scratch it out.
He's Googling.
I love it. I love internet.
Mr.
Sorry.
Anti-internet.
For all of our modern listeners, I'm sorry about that before. I've changed my plea. I love the internet. Internet loves me.
Partnerships.
Right. All right. This occurs when public institutions, officials, or administrators allow citizens to negotiate better deals, veto decisions, share in some of the funding, put forward requests that are at least partially fulfilled. Now, I have a new physician, an integrative health doctor, and I love the approach. Yes, you do.
Small world.
Dinner date. They've got a history of dinner date,
right?
I know
people.
So this doctor.
Are you a dinner dater?
It was the 90s.
He was then. This is, old school. I haven't even told the doctor.
I've got stories.
I'm sure. I'm going to listen to these stories. But this doctor calls me his health partner. I was like, all right, you got me. Right, I like that, right? Not patient, right? Not just going to do something or prescribe something and have me walk away. I'm a health partner. Initial consultation, I was told, hey, if anything I'm saying to you is not making sense with your mental model, if you're not jiving, mate, tell me.
If you're not jiving?
If it's not jiving, that's my interpretation. But basically, if this is not making sense to you.
I like it.
Yeah, I love it, right? If this isn't jiving, you let me know, right? Challenge me. And I'm like, I can do that. And then it was, and if you go away,
nodding,
he's jiving.
And if you go away,
everybody,
if you go away, and you research something that you're not sure about, or you want to challenge me on something and come back, I'll let you know what I know about it. Or if I don't know about it, I'll research it with you. I was like, all right, I think we got a relationship now, right? How good is that?
So you like partnership.
Partnership.
Right. Okay.
Partnership.
Is there something above that?
Then there's delegated power. Power. Participation as delegated power occurs when the institution's officials, administrators give up at least some degree of control, management, or decision-making authority or funding to its citizens. Right? A citizen board, a corporation, is tasked with managing a community program rather than merely participating in that program managed by a city, as an example. And the next level beyond that, right? So if they're in that level, though, to do any negotiations and resolve differences, there's already some agreement about how those negotiations are going to happen, some arbitration, if you will. They start this bargaining process, right? And so they can respond to these pressures.
Yeah.
There's a framework around that. If you have that, if you assign that control, the next level is citizen control, participation as citizen control. So I just thought all of these social phenomena would be of great interest to someone like Trish, who's really keen on Googling emojis now.
No, pass that. I'm just trying to see if the word meaningful is in the app.
Did you find it?
Well, two things. I don't have my glasses, and B, I've got a very small Galaxy 9. I'm struggling. I just don't believe the word meaningful's in there.
Now, in this framework, right, here's what's interesting to me. They count manipulation and therapy in a subcategory as non-participation. That is actually, so you want to test. All right, was it just therapy or manipulation? Then above that, they actually include an overlap consultation and placation as degrees of tokenism. Our legislation is permitting degrees of tokenism, is what that's telling me, if you ascribe by this article, right? Degrees of tokenism, consultation, which is embedded in our language in the legislation, right, is in that category, tokenism. Citizen power starts with partnership and is from that point onward. Partnership, delegated power, and citizen control. Boom. So even beyond meaningful consultation, are there opportunities for partnership in an organization if you want to have effective, robust design?
Well, here's the thing, and I wonder, because you've been around the industry a lot longer than we have on the ground. Alan and I, we sit in our ivory towers and we pontificate navel gaze, but you're out there where the rubber meets the road. And I read so many magazines, well, look at the pictures, so many glossy magazines from various OHS journals and associations, and there's what they're saying, though, gives me the impression this is occurring, this meaningful form of participation. So, so-and-so's partnering up, so-and-so's listening to its workers. So I get the distinct impression that it is happening in a meaningful way.
But I wonder if it is, because the glossy magazine tells me it is.
And again, you can't necessarily. And
these are big blue chips. We're talking big companies with really fancy hard hats and big budgets, and where executives travel business class and all that kind of stuff. So these are big businesses, not mum and dad.
Yeah.
SME, small, medium. We're talking big food. And they're saying.
But they have a campaign on their messaging about how well they're consulting workers.
Can I ask you, do you feel the vibe? Getting back to the vibe.
It's so rare.
Thank you.
It's so rare that that real participation is happening where there's a shared sense of power.
Yeah, because I'm inclined to listen to my student and to what you're saying. They're saying, we're frustrated. We are out there. We're saying, look, they're just not listening. And that was that key takeaway. And, I mean, you know, he just finished law in practice and he finished, you know, performance and all the other requirements for his course. And he's working and he just said, I understand what you're saying. I understand what the law's saying, but I don't feel that's happening in the workplace.
When it occurs, it's magic.
Yeah, right? Okay.
It's cool. Magic, and it's uplifting, and it's really fun. It's that alpha client, but it's not just whole organization. Like there are maybe it's in one instance in one business unit, and that's why this whole aspect of maturity models is really challenging. People trying to sign, and we talked about consultants trying to sell they already have in mind, and that also happens a lot when people say, hey, I've got this maturity model, and are you meeting this benchmark? Because that seems to
Like mature organization, you start with red light,
where are you on this maturity model consultation? No, and I'll tell you why.
Tell us why you don't like the maturity model.
Because it's not dynamic enough in organizations. A lot of systems that are really dynamic, and it seems to only measure outcomes, right, as though something's already been done. And we know that it seems to know that there's a best practice when, in fact, things are dynamic, and it's leading practice you want to be striving for and always acknowledging the trade-offs. Maturity models also tend to have these really fixed points that are very hard to delineate when things are dynamic. Mm. And I find a lot of the times when you go in and try and ask people about, you know, their readiness levels, you'll hear that term a lot. You talk about, If I've done a very robust, detailed design discovery and it has all these recommendations, I'm recommending that they leapfrog as though there's a number of lily pads or a spider web. And I'm thinking, you're not just going to gradually go from bad to semi-bad to a little bit better. You actually want to leapfrog and go bing, 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 bing across all of those intersections in a spider web and go for great now. But I hear all this, our company maturity is such that we probably need to just stay stuck. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. And they use that almost as a reservation to do against going great, doing great stuff. And I'm like, no, you can actually do great now. Wow. We can learn about leading practice and we can leapfrog on these lily pads, or we can cross these intersections on a very dynamic, three-dimensional web. Right?
Mm,
but yes. People use this as this linear model, a maturity model, so stage by stage, and it's outcome-based. Now, some of the things I talked about even in my thesis way back when was more about capability, and I had a disclaimer that, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, this looks like a linear model because I don't actually know how to graphically display this in my lexicon of icons and memes and GIFs and images and visual storytelling, right? It looks linear, but in fact, I mean to represent what are some of these lead indicators around your capability. Are you listening to workers in a meaningful way? Might be a measure on a capability measure, right? You see how that's leading, not an outcome of something you achieved, right? So there's a difference. Yeah, so instead of maturity model, start to think capability, and then to think network of systems and dynamic and leading practice. Don't stay stuck in these columns, and don't use it as an excuse of why, yes, but we're not the mine with a multi-billion-dollar budget, so therefore we can't do it. That's not the case. You can almost always, just like Schiphol Airport, had they wanted to say, we're not ready on this maturity model, they might not have solved the problem of the bathroom cleanliness.
Fly.
All right, get creative. What about the fly? Design is about creativity.
Fly.
Dynamic.
Right. Fly and flies.
Recognize a live system.
So, let's end this on a happy note because we've got to stop for lunch. Let's end this on a happy note.
Should we go from consultation to crocodiles? Can I say we talked about urine at the beginning and now urine at the end, and now you want to go eat lunch?
Hang on, we've talked about flies, zipped emojis. There's this commonality of semantics. But wait a minute.
Yes.
Can we end this design meaningful discussion with, have you had clients have just done an uptake and they've just swim against the current of mediocrity?
Absolutely.
And just said, I'm going to buy it. But what's the strike rate to get that happy ending? How often?
I'm working on a great project in mining industry right now that has a very robust strategy, and it's because it's with a partnership of organizations that have these beliefs.
So
right?
The web's occurring, there's no siloing going on.
No, it's great. And I've worked with people who've won, I've nominated and helped put projects forth, and they've won on the Good Design Awards Australia.
Yep.
In this case, it was certainly worth the award. They've completely changed the design. Speedy Contractors completely changed the design of a bitumen trailer, right? Heat and transit system.
Yep.
And changed the regulators' view on how they evaluate these systems, right? It was a big deal. So I have worked on projects that have been award-winning and absolutely love that, right? And in fact, we're up for an award with our messaging, right?
We're up for
the NSCA Foundation Award. We're finalists in communicating health and safety messaging. And I'd like to add design. The word design.
We'll slip that in.
Work design too. The interesting part about our messaging is it's not just a campaign where we're trying to sell anything. We're challenging people to think for themselves. So our listeners are our podcast partners.
Educate your mind because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind because the system will keep you blind. Create a new path and let the people follow your signs. Educate your mind because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind because the system will keep you blind. Create a new path and let the people follow your signs. In my lifetime, I follow...
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe, and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases, and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.
Never a faker, all my life, an authority hater. Educate your mind, because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind, because the system will keep you blind. Educate your mind, because the system will keep you blind.